Hello and welcome back to The Moments That Made Me. Before we kick off with this week's incredible episode, I just wanted to let you all know that my first book, Manifest, 7 Steps to Living Your Best Life, is available to pre-order now. I am beyond excited and proud and just over the moon, and I cannot wait for you guys to get your hands on it. It will be released on the 6th of January 2022. And it will teach you absolutely everything you need to know to manifest literally anything that you want into your life. It is a self-development book, a self-help book, an empowerment book, and of course, a guide to manifesting. So you can pre-order from Amazon or Waterstones or Audible from now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome back to The Moments That Made Me with me, your host, Roxy Nafusi. Today's guest is Miranda Holder, otherwise known as the Feel Good Fashion Coach. Miranda is a TV and celebrity fashion stylist and host of her own podcast, the Fashion Weekly Podcast with Miranda Holder, which I recently went on as a guest. So now it's my turn to interview Miranda on her 3 defining moments that got her to where she is today. Hi, lovely.
Hello, my darling. And how are you? All beautifully bronzed and tanned and limber after your little break.
Yeah, it was a very spontaneous getaway. And I feel it was only 3 nights. So it was only like 2 full days, but it was actually more than enough to reset. So I feel so good.
It looked amazing. And I was very impressed with your aerial yoga. I mean, that's super bendy.
Oh, you know what? It's a lot easier than it looks. It looks really impressive on Instagram, but actually, it's more just about facing a few little fears. Uh-huh. And then it really does support you. So it's all about inner trust, actually, which I love. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. I'm busy, but that's really exciting. My head is full of so many exciting new ventures and projects for the year ahead, or what's left of the year ahead, and probably next year. So I'm kind of on this really exciting journey at the moment and sort of slightly reshaping my business, and I've got a few new goals, and I'm loving life, and I am so excited about the months ahead.
No, I love that.
I know.
High vibes this morning.
Super high vibe. Yeah, absolutely. I've had my dance in my shower. I'm doing all right.
Oh my God, amazing. So I think you're a fan of the podcast, so you know that we dive straight in with your first defining moment.
Okay, so I've had quite a few. You know, 45 these days, pretty ropey and old. But have loved every single year, and life is only getting better and better for me. But there's been a lot that's gone on in my life, so it was quite an interesting one to narrow this down. But I think the first and possibly the most major one was a very serious car crash that I had and was in about 11 years ago. So I've got 2 beautiful children who are now teenagers. And at the time, they were 4 and 6 years old, and they were staying with my parents. And hubby and I had gone on for a lovely long weekend away, dirty weekend, basically, for his birthday, and had a gorgeous time just celebrating. So we were driving back home on the Sunday evening, and it was dusk, and we were, you know, both blissfully happy after some very special and precious time together, which is very rare when you're a parent, I'm sure you know. And we were following a van. The light was terrible, and the van in front of us, his brake lights weren't working properly. And basically, we went. He braked suddenly, and we went into the back of him. Only at 40 miles an hour, so not terribly, but it set the airbags off. And the problem was that I was relaxing as a passenger with my feet up on the dashboard and they were crossed, which I see loads of people doing these days. And no one knows actually how dangerous it is. And what happened was the airbag goes off at about 200 and something miles an hour. I mean, it's just insane, but they obviously keep us safe most of the time. And threw my crossed legs up against the safety glass, which didn't crack. So instead, my legs shattered, which was interesting. I was in complete shock at the time, as you do. I remember the car filled with smoke and my husband shouting at me, you know, get out of the car, it's going to blow up. And we honestly thought it did, but it was going to. But actually, when the airbags go off, there's a bit of smoke apparently involved in that process. So that's why, looking back, but it was still terrifying. So it wasn't until I actually went to move that the pain sort of kicked in. To this day, I can't remember the collision at all, but I only have memory from when I started to try to move. And I just couldn't, absolutely couldn't move my legs. That the second I tried to put any weight on them, I have never been in such intense pain. Like, I did childbirth twice naturally, and I think I'm quite hardcore. I have all my tweetments and stuff and don't take pain relief when I do those. So I think I've got quite a good pain threshold, but this was just beyond all control. So they got me out of the car, an ambulance was called, and sadly it was just a very unlucky turn of events. It was a Sunday towards the end of the summer holidays. I guess it was a busy day, or there weren't enough staff working, but we waited a very long time for the first ambulance, which was only a car. Then we waited a very long time for the second ambulance. But the problem was that my injuries weren't obvious, because actually my legs looked completely normal, but I was in writhing pain. So they didn't treat it as seriously as it should have been treated. We have friends who are medics, and they say, looking back, there should have been a whole crash team ready and waiting for me at the hospital, but there wasn't. So I was eventually got to the hospital, and then I was left in a corridor for about half an hour. It was just one of those awful nightmare situations. And I didn't have anyone with me. The ambulance men just sort of left me and had to run off to their next job. I remember I was desperate for the loo, you know, in huge discomfort, no pain relief. And eventually someone found me sort of moaning and writhing around, and I was fast forwarded to the crash unit. And then I remember they just shouted over the top of me. They argued for I don't know how long, it felt like an hour, but goodness knows how long it was. But they kept putting me in and out of consciousness and taking x-rays of part of me. And I remember this junior doctor shouting at all the other doctors there, saying, stop, stop, can't you see? We're not getting this right. We're missing something. And I remember kind of coming around and thinking, oh my goodness gracious, what a shit show, and going back under again. But for whatever reason, maybe it is fate, but it felt like a really load of bad luck at the time, they missed the extent of my injuries. So they picked up on a couple of breaks, but it actually took weeks, and I was in hospital for months. It took the team weeks to actually get to the bottom of every single thing that was wrong with me, because I had multiple breaks, shatters, dislocations. I don't know how they could have missed this, to be honest, but you know, the NHS are fabulous most of the time when we need them, but on this occasion, for whatever reason, it didn't go particularly brilliantly. So I was stuck in hospital on the biggest pain relief you can imagine. I had the pain team assigned to me. They'd come every day. I was begging them for more morphine, more nerve medication, more this and that. And I was sort of running dangerously high levels, but actually having quite a fun time on it, hallucinating and imagining all sorts of things. And eventually they let me out and I came home, and they didn't even realize that I had extensive nerve damage at that point. So my pain carried on, and it wasn't until a year later that I had my nerves in my foot were actually tethered and severed, which is why that pain was just so intense, and my big toe was dislocated. It was just so many things. But one of the key problems was that my talus, which doesn't have its own blood supply in my foot, was broken very badly. And I was given a prognosis of 99.9% AVN, which is avascular necrosis, which means the bone would die and crumble. So I remember going back and they said, well, look, you know, we think you should have an amputation because the statistics are not good whatsoever. We can amputate just below the knee. You'll actually recover far better anyway, even if the AVN doesn't happen. This is quite a common procedure, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember sort of coming away absolutely shell-shocked just how everything could change just so quickly, from everything being rosy to everything looking utterly bleak. In that time, I got totally hooked to the painkillers because I was absolutely relying on them because of this nerve pain. And I remember my children, you know, my daughter still to this day has a huge anxiety, sort of separation anxiety, because whenever they came to see me in the hospital or even around in the house when I got home, I couldn't stand their crying and their screaming and just the general noise of little children. And I would ask for them to be taken away. So I couldn't connect with my kids at all because I was in such a bad place. And for a while, I just totally, totally gave up on everything. I got really angry. Into victim mode, I suppose. You know, why me? This absolutely sucks. I spent months and months in a wheelchair. You know, my home was turned into a sort of disabled unit. We looked at setting up a bedroom for me downstairs. I had mobility equipment everywhere just to get around. And I just totally let myself go and gave up, literally swigging the morphine from the bottle that they gave to me and just letting everything go fuzzy and just not having anything, any glimmer of hope whatsoever. And then I remember, this was months down the line, my friends used to keep bringing me fashion magazines because it was the only thing that I would really pay much attention to. And it was sort of light enough and frivolous enough to, you know, have a little flick through, and we'd have chats about the outfits and whatever, because I've always loved fashion. And I remember one day I had to go to the loo. So I was in my bed and it took about 15, 20 minutes to ease myself out of the bed onto this special wheelchair and into the special toilet, et cetera, et cetera. And I caught sight of myself in the mirror, which I had been avoiding for quite some time. And I'd just been looking at all these beautiful, inspirational pictures of models and all the rest of it in the magazines. And I looked at myself and I absolutely did not recognize what I saw. I was huge. I was bloated. I was gray. My eyes were glassy. My hair was like straw. And my lips were pale. I mean, it was unbelievable, the sight that looked back at me. You know, my leg was sort of wasting away. And I just said to myself, are you going to accept this, Miranda? You know, you have to make a decision. Are you going to accept this as your fate? And thank God, thank the universe, thank whoever is up there. Something inside of me said, you know, rose at that time and just said, right, enough, we're going to do something about this. And I got back to my bed, I picked up those fashion magazines, and I promised myself there and then, having tried many careers in my time, being a Pisces, being a creative, and latterly trying to do things to be fulfilled work-wise and have the children, I'd never fully found my absolute niche and my flow. And I promised myself that if I got better, I would give everything a go and try and launch a career in fashion, because that really was my true passion that I hadn't sort of listened to or tapped into over the years. So I decided that day that I was going to sort myself out and make a recovery. I phoned my husband, I told him, I got researching, and because the sort of the traditional medical team were pushing all the drugs and the operation still at that time, I thought, no, I'm going to do this another way. So I started to research everything complementary and alternative, and we hit it hard. I did everything from hyperbaric oxygen chamber treatments, which were amazing and actually saved my leg in the end, so it worked, to physio, to Reiki, to nutrition, to Bowen therapy, acupressure. I think you get the picture. I hit it hard with everything. But what was really important was I felt that I had forward momentum, and I was setting myself little goals, and I was able to achieve those goals, even if they were tiny, every single day. You know, know, it might just be, I had a personal trainer that I hired, and he'd come, the sweetest guy, he'd come and sit by my bedside. And my first sort of exercise for probably the first 6 weeks was to get out of bed and crawl in circles around my bedroom floor to build up my muscles again, because I just had nothing. And, you know, looking back at those times, it was crazy, but it was obviously what was needed. You know, it was, it really was baby steps. And to fast forward, you know, it was a very long, grueling recovery that took several years, but I made a lot of headway in the first 6-9 months, and I started to research fashion courses, and I actually got into Central St Martin's, which is a fantastic college, and did a fashion styling course there, which was the start of several more courses that I then took. I went on to London College of Style, which is brilliant, where I now actually lecture, and did more. And as I got stronger, I got better and absolutely started to love what I was doing. And I felt like for the first time in my life, I was in my flow and doing the right thing. Because for the first time, and having been an actress at the beginning of my career and been very used to knocking on many, many doors and getting many, many no's and rejection, it's just part of the trade. But for the first time, I was getting yeses to everything. It was like everything was laid out on a plate for me. And my new policy, my new lease of life, was that I was going to say yes to everything as well, because I had this new absolute zest for life. I was not going to waste another bloody moment. And it utterly changed my life. I now am working in fashion. I mean, I've had a great career considering I came into it quite late. I've styled Boy George, worked with Little Mix, Vanessa Williams, and all sorts of things, which have been fantastic. I'm now on TV and going actually now into a slightly different direction, but it's all been absolutely wonderful. And it also gave me the courage to do things absolutely for me and not care what anyone else thought about being judged, which is something that I'd always struggled with previously. So I went and booked myself a boob job and a nose job because I fancied one. And yeah, I was literally just enjoying life and just enjoying this newfound power of being able to do what I want. And I also went and got hair extensions, and that's the best decision that I've ever made, because my hair was pretty ruined after that experience. And I now have this gorgeous, lustrous hair and the most fantastic hairdresser, and it's sort of become my signature, and I love it. I love feeling feminine and attractive again. But I believe that if I didn't have that huge, momentous accident, I probably would still be potentially sort of wasting my life and, you know, Mrs. Unsatisfied from Hampshire with 2.4 children and a Labrador, not having gone for her dreams.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I want to give you like a standing ovation.
Oh, bless
honestly,
you.
I'm just like, wow. It's so inspirational. But
thanks,
I have about a million questions. because this really is, I think, whenever, and I've had a couple of guests on who have had something horrific happen with their health. And I think for me, when I hear a story like yours, I am always just, I can't begin to comprehend that, like you say, the anger, the hopelessness, the pain, the feeling of loss, like grieving the life that you had. When you had made that decision that, okay, I need to change my life, how did you begin to, what perspective shift do you think you made that allowed you to let go of something like the anger? Because that feeling of why me, you know what I mean? That why did this happen to me? That feeling of it being unfair, that kind of, you were a victim, but that victim mentality, how did you switch that? What was your shift?
That's a really good question. And I'm just thinking about that. And you're right. I mean, I was absolutely wallowing. And then I'm someone, this is probably not a very satisfactory answer, but I'm very impetuous. I run on my emotions. If anyone out there is into human design, I'm an emotional being and you know, decide what I want to do based on how I feel. And I literally just looked in that mirror and I actually just thought, I'm bored. I'm just bored of this. I don't want to be negative anymore. I don't want to feel like this and be angry and resentful. And I literally just decided to chuck it out the window. And there wasn't, you know, it wasn't a straightforward path. I'm sure there were times after that that I came back to getting frustrated. But as soon as I just made that mental decision, right, no, throw it away, and just opened my eyes to the possibilities out there. And as soon as I did that, I think it really helped also having a goal. So I had the fashion and I was also investigating all this natural health stuff. And I remember thinking, oh, I actually feel quite excited. And I haven't been excited about anything for so long. So that gave me the drive and motivation and focus. And I'm also just incredibly stubborn when I want to be, which I think really helped.
Yeah, definitely. Great answer. And the other thing I really want to know is, how did your relationship survive that?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think we think a lot when obviously the empathy and the concern is with you, because it's huge. Like, you're going through something like just catastrophic, really. But of course, there's also your partner who is, and I think people often forget, not forget, but they don't place as much importance or thought into the person who's taking care of you, the person who's then almost solely responsible for the children. And how was he, and how did your relationship handle all of that?
Do you know what? There were times when, so his name is Justin, and he might kill me for saying that, but I'm sure people can find that out quite easily. But there were times when I was angry at him, and at those early dark days, during those early dark days, I remember I would shout and scream. I remember in front of my mother-in-law, I threw things at him. I mean, I was seriously angry. And bless him, he said, yes, it is my fault. I mean, it was one of those things, but I think he felt guilty for a while. Oh, yeah. And I made it, and I rubbed it in, you know, hand on my heart. I was not nice. I was blooming angry. And if I could take anyone else down with me, I was going to. However, I'm getting emotional actually thinking about this, because we've had our ups and downs, as many married couples do. It's life. We've been through a pandemic, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But he was so amazing. He rose to it, Roxy. And instead of getting more pressured and us growing apart, we actually grew closer together, because he is nothing more than an absolute superhero. He carried running his own business with his own work troubles at the time, looking after the kids, juggling it a little bit. But actually, that's another long story, which we may go into on point three, but I fell out with my support network of family members during that time, can you believe? So we felt more on our own than ever. And he held everything together and worked so hard without ever complaining. And I owe him so much, and I'm so grateful for him.
Oh, oh my gosh, that is beyond. What an incredible angel on earth.
Yes.
Really, just an angel on earth.
Definitely. Oh,
that's so, so beautiful. And thank you so much for your honesty. I really, it's so, so refreshing and so important and so incredible to hear you be able to own and be open and go, you know what, I was not kind, and I was this and I was that. And I think that is, I really love to hear it, because I think I just love that honesty. I love that openness and being able to own the things you did in your past without shame, just going, you know what, I did that and I know I was wrong, but not being like judging yourself for it, you know, but, you know, learning from it. So just amazing. Thank you so much. And the last question I have about it, sorry.
It's okay.
Like, oh my gosh. Is how did you start that journey of reconnecting with your children afterwards?
I just started. There was no sort of big decision involved. I think as I came off the drugs slowly but surely, which wasn't fun, because what goes up must come down. And I was, you know, quite enjoying being on the ceiling with all that morphine for a while, but I had to.
Yeah. Did you have withdrawal?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a nightmare. And just something else that I didn't need. I also then found out that I contracted Lyme disease, which was probably triggered by the accident. So I had a huge amount on my plate. I mean, that's another story, and I do manage that quite well now. But I had so much going on. But it took a little while. It wasn't instant, and I had to build it up slowly, so that my tolerance really of young, busy people with needs was sort of ready to handle it. But what I will say now is I am so close to both my children, and they are, I'm so proud of them. They are fantastic. And, you know, they're just beautiful, have the most beautiful hearts. So I'm not too worried. And actually, I'm so close to my daughter now, who in particular really suffered, I think, at that time.
So, Miranda, what was your second defining moment? I don't know how we go on from that. But
bless I'm sure you. Well, it's a happy story, sort of.
It is.
Yes. And this one is, it's we went on holiday as a family, I'm going to say about 5 years ago. I'm always rubbish with dates. And we were at a time a fan of the Nielsen holidays. So for people that don't know, when you get a family of a certain age and they need exercising, you know, and you want a bit of time off as a parent, these activity holidays are brilliant. So all the water sports and fun and camps and singing, everything was laid on for the kids, and the parents could either be as sporty on the water as they liked or just go and chill out at the spa or whatever. It was great. So we went to a new resort in Greece, down in Messini. And I have always been an animal lover, absolutely always. I've always had loads of pets. When I first met Justin, I had 7 cats, which is quite hilarious. And my father actually tried 7. To bribe him. Yeah, 7.
Wow.
Yeah. Because he thought it was going to, my father thought it was going to put him off. So he tried to give him money. I mean, that's ridiculous. But anyway, I'm a mad cat lady and dog lady now. But we found out very early, or discovered, that there was a stray dog problem in the area. There was a pack of stray dogs on the beach, and no one wants to see that when they're on holiday. Because as soon as I discovered it, I thought, oh goodness, I can't switch off now, because I can see that there are animals suffering. And they were living outside of the hotel down the road on the beach a bit, but they'd come to the hotel naturally for food and wander around, and the hotel were doing everything they could to keep them off. But of course, they kept coming back, and there was about 7 of them. And they were all adorable. But a couple of them were quite ill. And I was quite concerned. So I decided that I would just do my bit and steal sausages and eggs and things from the breakfast buffet and go and give them a good meal while I was there. And because I have a bit of a social media presence, certainly not as wonderful a community as yours, or larger community as yours yet. They're all gorgeous, but we're growing. But I had a little bit of a voice at the time. So as you do, I was documenting all of this on stories, and people were following along. And I noticed soon that there was a puppy in the little group who was absolutely petrified. She was trembling, didn't stop visibly shaking with fear. She was very, very nourished, malnourished. They were all starving, but she was ribs, just total ribs, and covered in mange. And she had 2 broken back legs. And I was like, oh God, you know, I need to help her. But I couldn't feed her because she wouldn't come close enough to take the sausage. So I was so worried. And I went and asked at the hotel, and I found some English people, and they said, yes, there's a huge stray dog problem in Greece. Actually, it's very well covered up. But this goes on. And also the animal abuse problem over there is actually the second worst in Europe, after only Romania, but it's very well hidden, which I was really shocked about. And then I found out that all her siblings had actually been clubbed to death on the beach the week before. I'm sorry, that's horrible to hear. But really, really horrific. So this is why she was so frightened. I mean, absolutely traumatized. But I couldn't get her near me. She had a very sweet, friendly mum that I was able to feed. But, you know, I couldn't help her. And then one morning, we were downstairs in a downstairs garden room. Considering she'd come nowhere near the hotel normally, my husband woke me up and said, oi, oi, you've got a visitor. And I opened those curtains, and this little puppy and her mum were sleeping on the sofa out on our veranda. And I kind of couldn't believe it, because she was so scared and so timid, and she was sleeping right outside my door. And I just felt like I was being asked, properly asked to help. And I just, at that time, I remember thinking, oh, right, there's no turning back here. This is turning into a bit of a mission. So I started really campaigning on social media for support and funds. I found a local dog shelter, which actually happens to be the largest on mainland Greece, and phoned them up and said, right, you've got to help. There's 7 stray dogs here. We need to get them in. And they sort of said, you are having a laugh. We're absolutely overrun with dogs. We can't even afford to feed them, let alone give them veterinary treatment. We can't help. The best you can do is just give them some food and hope for the best. So I bribed them. I raised some money. We also, you know, of our own, and also through social media. And I basically bribed them to help us and take in the puppy. So We drove up to the shelter to get some horse tranquilizer, as you do, that I was going to try and put in a sausage and try and catch this puppy. But because of bad Greek communication, as we drove up to the shelter, they drove down to the hotel. And instead of catching the puppy, they managed to catch the mum and bring her back to the shelter. So while we were there, they turned back up there with the mum in tow, at which point I just burst into tears because I thought, oh, no. And now that puppy's all on her own. You know, she's been through so much and she's got no one to look after her. That coupled with being very shocked at the state of the shelter. So, you know, shelter in inverted commas, it really was a caravan and a few shacks and a few trees, hundreds of dogs, literally not much food. They do days with no food at all because they can't make it stretch. And they, when they do feed them often, it's literally stale bread that's been donated or collected from local hotels. And it was pretty dire. But really, it was still our best option. So with a very heavy heart and thinking, how on earth am I going to do this now? I went back with my horse tranquilizer. And the next morning, the whole family, my fabulous family, husband and two children, got up super, super early and tried to catch this puppy. And I was documenting the whole thing on my stories, lying on my tummy, feeling a bit like David Attenborough at the time, just trying to sing nursery rhymes to her and throwing bits of sausage. I mean, it was quite ridiculous, but it wasn't getting anywhere. She did actually take some sausage, but she was so nervous that her adrenaline overrode the tranquilizer and she just wouldn't relax, although I could see that she was tired. And then out of nowhere, and this is what's nuts, her mother, who'd been captured and taken to the shelter, turned up and just walked up to her. And it turned out that her mum had escaped. The bond between the two dogs was so strong that her mum had broken free somehow of the shelter and walked 16 kilometres back. And she was actually poorly, we found out later, back to the hotel to be with her little puppy, which was incredible and a gift, because as soon as the puppy saw the mum, she gave in to the horse tranquilizer, dozed off. We were able to jump on them, not literally, but capture them and get them up to the shelter. So that was amazing. But the next part of the story really is that the shelter, having seen the shelter, my husband and I just thought, oh my goodness, we can't just dump these dogs here with a bit of money and walk away, because it was run by this incredible, beautiful, beautiful woman called Katerina, who has literally given up her whole life to adopt every waif and stray and help everything that she can, because the problem is so bad there, and it really is. And while she was talking to us and showing us around, I mean, she was wearing rags. And I kind of realized why, because dogs were jumping up at her as she was walking through the little areas and they would literally rip open her dress. So by the time she'd finished showing us around, she was standing there flapping with her bra and knickers on display, you know, poor love. But she didn't care. She was so humble and so dedicated. There was never a Christmas, never, you know, she hardly ate herself because she'd give the food to the dogs. Most poorly ones would sleep on her bed in her little caravan. She didn't have a working shower. There was no plumbing. I mean, it was dire. And Justin and I both looked at each other and said, we just have to help. We cannot finish things here. So I carried on my sort of social media campaign while I was out there. It went a little bit viral, which was great. While I was there, I managed to facilitate 10 adoptions, which took a few weeks to materialize, but started that process, including one gorgeous dog for us. And it was the start of something very special. We've raised a lot of money for the shelter, which is called Dash, by the way, Dash Dogs in Greece. Aww. Over the years since. We adopted three dogs ourselves because we go over there several times a year. I'm an ambassador for the charity. And we actually now own Tess, who was the little puppy that started the whole thing. So she's now in our house. And if anyone out there believes in it, many people may not, but I absolutely love all of this. I've got a fabulous pet psychic and I got her to speak to all of my dogs because I just wanted to know. And it was amazing. They all had a different story to tell.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Fantastic.
Can you tell me one of them?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Well, so Molly, the first dog we adopted, super naughty, really affectionate to humans, but sleeps on tables, will scale any wall and is just a complete escape artist, and will also eat any other dog that tries to come near the house because she's just very protective. So I got the a psychic to speak to her first, because it was just, you know, what is going on? And for her, it was just, you know, got to keep checking that everything's okay. I'm here now. I'm looking after my sort of patch. And I love the smells. I get loads of amazing visions when I smell. And it was very, very Molly, because the psychic said, okay, and do other dogs get this, Molly? And she sort of said, oh, I don't care. And she's just all about having fun and being a bit cheeky and naughty, which is really her personality. But then when she spoke to Marmaduke, who's my Labrador, he wouldn't even speak to her at first, because he wanted, she called me Miranda, and he said, no, it's Mummy, which I think is so him, because he's such a baby.
Yeah.
And it was gorgeous. It was so accurate. He gave me specific instructions that I had to scratch the knobbly bits on the top of his ears and not the top of his head. And he saves up all his compliments, because he thinks he's quite handsome, and he is, throughout the day. And then he dreams about them at night, all night long. Things like that.
It's sweet.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm sure there will be people listening that will want to find out the details of this.
Yes. Well, if they find me, I guess, on social media, which is Miranda Holder LDN, I can put them in touch. But it was beautiful. And Tess, the little puppy, she said was actually an earth angel, which is beautiful. And she wants to go back to Greece and tell all the dogs there not to give up hope.
So cute.
I know. Oh,
what a beautiful story, and just what an incredible thing to be able to do. And I'm sure so many people listening will be so moved by that. What started as a really sad story has, like your own, has such a beautiful ending.
Yes, and we're still supporting them. Sadly, the shelter's getting bigger and bigger, because they just don't stop rescuing every single dog they can. They're working on educating just the population to stop the problem. But if anyone wants a dog, come and talk to me and I can point them in the right direction, because great dogs are the best.
Welcome to Paranormal Activity with me, Yvette Fielding, a brand new podcast bringing together people's real ghost, extraterrestrial and paranormal stories, as well as getting some inside details from those who study the supernatural. I'll be listening through your paranormal stories every week and try to understand them, as well as chatting about my own encounters with an occasional paranormal investigator too. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts from, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Acast. Just search for Paranormal Activity with Yvette Fielding.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So, Miranda, what is then your third defining moment?
Okay, so this is one that I was mulling this over, and I was sort of tuning in to myself and my guides. I'm quite spiritual last night, and trying to think about or waiting for the inspiration for this third one to come, because there were a couple of different options, and this one's slightly uncomfortable, but in the spirit with which I live my life these days, which is brutal honesty, you know, some might say oversharing, but actually I feel like it's my role in the world to share my experiences, because I know I can reach out to other people that are going through really hard times and, you know, hopefully offer them some hope and inspiration. So without further ado, I separated from my parents and my family about 2 or 3 years ago. And the reason I really hesitated about this was because this is a public podcast, and the last thing I want to do, as I still love them, is cause them any discomfort or pain or shame. But I've kind of worked out the numbers, and I'm fairly sure that with their demographic, etc., hopefully don't take this the wrong way, Roxy, they won't necessarily get to hear about this. And if they do, I'm hoping that things will be good enough that it will be okay. But I'm sharing this because I once shared this on my social media, and I had an absolute flood of responses. So I think it's kind of important work. I've been in and out of counselling and psychologists all my life because I had, and I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me. It's just my journey, which actually I'm grateful for, and I think has all happened for a reason. I had quite a tough childhood with two very loving but not parents. One was incredibly overbearing and controlling, and the other one was unable to show me any love. And actually, they are, I've learned over the years, they are absolute textbook narcissists. Absolutely. I love them very much. I know they love me in their own way. It's very hard for them to show me that. And basically, I decided to step away after years of being trapped in a cycle where whatever interaction I would have with them, I'd always go in with an open heart and with love. I'd come away feeling contracted, fearful, depressed, deflated, or worse. It would cause many arguments within my own family, with my husband. And it was like, it basically was being in a bit of an abusive relationship, to be honest. And it was really affecting my mental health. They were absolutely doing their best, and they were only doing what they believed was right in their own way, with their own history and their own circumstances, because you never know what's going on. And you know, and I love them dearly, and I forgive them without sounding up my own backside for the hurt they've caused me, and I hope that they can forgive me or have forgiven me for the upset that I have caused them over these recent years, because I know it's been very hard. But I made a decision to protect my own mental health and step away, which was major, because it's not something I take lightly. And it was very, very sad. But about 3 years ago, it was the catalyst of another Christmas, which was horrendous. And it was incredibly painful. I feel like I probably got judged with my friends a little bit about it, because people don't understand unless you're in that situation. Mm. I have grown so strong as a result of doing that. It was the best thing I could have done for myself. I have done so much healing since doing that, and really, really grown and developed, and I'm much stronger in who I am, what I want, where I'm going. What's also happening, which is very tragic, is my mum actually has stage 4 lymphoma and is dying of cancer, and I've had this going on in the back of my mind. There's a whole time issue to the whole situation. It's still a very broken relationship, but I'm hoping that we can still find a way to heal it. But it's that thing of how much do you keep going back when you know you're just going to get struck down again in some way, you know, keeping your heart open when it's just going to be attacked. So I'm praying that after this break, and now I'm in a much stronger place, and I've really grown spiritually and things over the last couple of years. Wow, I've had the biggest. I thought I was pretty woke or awoke. Anyway, I do like Reiki and Rouhani, and I have got more crystals. But wow, mind blown over the last 2 years, like I think a lot of people. So I'm hoping that I'm in the right place now to try and bridge some gaps. And I really feel, I mean, I know you love manifesting, Roxy, and I'm a huge fan of that too. And I think once your energy starts to change and around you, and you're putting out all those beautiful, grateful vibes, happy vibes, and all this lovely energy is starting to come towards you. And it really is with me. I can really feel it, and it's beautiful. I think it's a ripple effect, isn't it? And everything starts to change. And what was so beautiful and made me sob like a child last week was I had a text out of the blue from my father, considering we haven't really spoken properly, you know, for a couple of years, just saying, despite all the shit that we've been through over the last few years, you're still my daughter and I still love you. And that, I can't tell you, because I haven't heard that, I can't tell you how much that meant to me. So it's given me real hope that, you know, we can bring it back. And this is what I hope. We'll see. But it's taught me a huge amount. And from stepping away, I have grown. So it's that thing of self-preservation. There is a moment where you have to look after yourself, even though it feels like the wrong thing to do. And I think it was the right thing to do.
Oh, Miranda, I'm so in awe of you.
Bless you.
Thank you. I'm so grateful for you coming on the show and just being so honest and to share that, I think is, I know can't have been easy. And like you said, it was like you were really thinking whether it was completely right. But I'm so, so glad that you did. And I think it's going to help so many people, because families are funny things. And I remember actually my ex-boyfriend, when I was 21, he was a bit older than me, and he used to always tell me this Philip Larkin poem, which was, they fuck you up, your mum and dad. They don't mean to, but they do.
Yes.
And it's a great little poem, and it is true. And I think there's this thing with parents, isn't there, where not for everyone, and everybody has this this relationship to, everybody's relationship with their parents is so unique and so different. But often when you find that people who have very damaged relationships with their parents, it does become incredibly toxic, because there is within us this kind of, we hold on to this need for their approval, for their validation, for their love, and all the while hurting ourselves immeasurably. And it takes an incredible amount of strength and inner strength to be able to say, I have to walk away from the two people that raised me, my parents, the people I put on a pedestal as a child. And that's really tearing away from this younger child. But it takes even more wisdom to be able to do it without anger and judgment. And as you have expressed, understanding that they were doing their best in a way. And that's how things pass through generations, until we can stop the cycle. And there shouldn't be. I do agree that we should be able to walk away with forgiveness and and compassion, because people, they act from their own pain.
Don't get me wrong, I have been really angry. I haven't been an angel or a saint throughout all of this, but this is where I am now.
Of course. Well, look, there has to be that process. It's about where you end up.
It is. And you're right, it gets passed down through the generations. I've actually done some family constellations workshops, which, I mean, we won't chat about it now, but wow, they blow your mind. And it's all about, if trauma isn't healed, however many generations ago, that energy of it comes down through the family, and it's a real thing. So that's, I would really recommend people look into that. And also, it's so funny, I parent my own children now, you know, in sort of the opposite way, I suppose, because there's still a very wounded little girl inside of me that wanted, craved love and approval, as you said. And I smother my kids in it now. But it's great to be able to do that.
Absolutely. Is there anything you would like to say to anyone who is currently in a toxic family relationship and feels that they don't know how to step away, or who is still feeling guilty about the thought of distancing themselves?
Yes, just first of all, take stock. We all need to distance ourselves to get perspective. So maybe, why don't you organize to go and stay with a friend or something like that, or another family member, or just get yourself away and out of the situation for as long as you can, really, sort of a week or a weekend or something, to think about it. And hopefully you'll get some perspective, and please just don't feel guilty, because there's nothing worse than being than settling for a relationship where everyone is hurting for each other. And it's braver, I think, to make that change. It's easier to stay in that trap. So be strong and be brave.
That's beautiful, Miranda. I love that. Oh my gosh. You know, there are some times where I record this show and I just think, wow, fuck me. This was unreal. And this is one of those times, excuse my language.
But that's all right.
You are really just, I feel so grateful to you for being on here and sharing your story, and really so inspired by your inner strength, by your commitment to your own inner healing, and sharing that with the people around you. So thank you so much.
My pleasure, darling.
But I do have a few questions before you go.
Yes, of course.
So the first question is your most memorable book.
See, I love, it's a childhood one, My Naughty Little Sister. It's brilliant, the whole series.
What's that?
Oh, it's gorgeous. Oh, go find it. Because Wolf, is it Wolf or Wolfie?
Yeah, Wolf.
He would love that. It's all about a very naughty little sister. It's really old-fashioned, but it's beautifully written, and she's just always really naughty, and it's just gorgeous.
Sorry, okay. Your favourite quote?
I love this one. Life is too short. Smile while you still have teeth.
Oh, love. I love that. I've not heard that one. Your most influential mentor.
See, I've always wanted one and I don't have one. It's so funny. I came because of the way I came into styling, and actually it all happened really quickly for me. I was always the stylist rather than the assistant, sort of literally from day one. So I was always thinking, I'd love a mentor, someone to show me how to do this rather than make it up as I went along. And it's the same with all sorts of things. So I sort of don't have one, but what I have really...
Well, you're your own mentor.
Well, this is what I've learned, because I'd always go and ask an expert. You know, if I wanted to learn something or do something, go and ask an expert. But you're right, Roxy. I've learned over the years that actually your own intuition is often the best way.
I love that. Your go-to feel-good film?
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes.
I love
so
it.
Good. So good. A moment where you felt most proud?
Apart from my children, who are the most fantastic human beings, and I can't believe how amazing they're turning out to be. I'm just so, so proud of them. It would have to be our work as a family with the dog shelter and everything we have achieved there. Huge, huge changes there. And we've managed, I mean, it's not just us, my goodness, the team of volunteers there and in the UK are incredible and so dedicated. But every single soul that we save is so fantastic, and so many dogs there have absolutely touched my heart, and it's so wonderful then to see them get homes and get a dream life with a warm bed and a fire to sleep by, and I'm so proud of that.
Oh, that really, I mean, you should be so proud of that. It's absolutely incredible.
Thank you.
A song that cheers you up.
Oh, I love, so there's so many, because you sent me these questions beforehand and I was like, oh, how do I pick just one? There are so many. But I think if I'm going to put the music or the volume up, turn it up to 11 and have a good dance, it's got to be Rebecca Ferguson. Love her. You're Too Good to Lose. Amazing, uplifting piano. And you can sing it at the top of your lungs.
Love. Top tip for dealing with stress.
Take yourself out of the situation, get off the hamster wheel and reframe. You know, whether it's just an hour or 5 minutes breathing, there are so many techniques out there, but just step away so you can focus for a moment. And I love earthing and grounding. So barefoot walking on the grass, things like that, and connecting with nature is beautiful.
Absolutely agree. One thing you'd like to achieve in the next year?
Well, I was going for a walk at the weekend and I got this download for an entire book.
Fabulous.
Which I'm so exciting, combining fashion, my life story, a few other bits and pieces. And I think it's really exciting. So I would like to get that done.
Do it. And the first person you called to share good news?
It's got to be my wonderful husband, Justin.
We love Justin.
I
love Justin.
Yeah.
Miranda, thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest, for sharing your three defining moments with me. And for anybody that's listening that wants to find Miranda on Instagram, it is Miranda Holder, LDN. That's her.
Yes, LDN tag. Is short for London. That's my handle.
And thank you so much.
Thank you, darling. I've loved it. I love you. I love all the work that you're doing too. It's beautiful. You're a beautiful soul. And I love your pod. So I'm delighted to be on it. Thank you for having me.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.